Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to be with you here today. I want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Sandestin, Monday through Friday. And we want to welcome our radio listeners all across the country and the world. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. I'll be getting with you here today.
Yeah.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day, good day, good day. We have many interesting things to talk about today.
Do we?
I have a feeling we're going to come back to that.
We're going to come back to that, but we have some exciting things to be sharing. And we love the opportunity to connect with you, as many of you have, and please continue to do so. It's encouraging as we are partnering together, not only to keep the conversation light, but to continue to spread the light all over the world. We're going to be talking today a little bit about Israel. Believe it or not, the time clock of the world, the whole world is centered on this little country, smaller than the state of New Jersey, population 11.78 million people. Amazing. And did I mention the apple of God's eye? Yep, that too. But we're going to be talking about that Netanyahu's saying, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying, looking into war crimes for Israel, you need to go look over to Hamas. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about that as well. And because of human rights right now, they just basically appointed a lawyer on this council to investigate this whole thing.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Who's anti-Israel. Like on the whole panel, he's known as like, wow. Come, I mean, really?
Really?
I mean, give me a break. But we're going to talk about it because many people are not. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to be talking about Prayer Mountain, what is happening in Dallas, Texas, on top of a mountain. And God's answering prayers. And we want to encourage you that now more than ever, if you don't have a prayer life, I want to encourage you, today would be a great day to start having a prayer life. And all that is just being able to communicate with God, just talking. You don't have to tilt your head to the right or to the left or take deep breaths or anything like that. You don't have to be super spiritual. All you need to be able to do is open your mouth and begin to start talking to God. And you'll be amazed at the things that will happen when you have a heart that seeks God. So we're going to be talking about that. It's going to be really interesting as well. And we have a report from the Sportsman Night Out at Marcus Point Baptist Church in Pensacola. We have a lot. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I can hardly wait.
It's going to be exciting because, you know, being the sportsman that I am, I had the opportunity to be amongst all the deer hunters and
Were you lost? What happened?
Well,
Did you consider yourself a deer?
Well, it was funny how I actually arrived to this destination because it wasn't on the calendar and it was not on the plan for yesterday. But we have some very encouraging things to share about this event.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. My wife said, "You're where?"
She was just as surprised.
I can relate.
She said, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's talk about it. My goodness, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu basically is saying, by the way, that there's been a temporary ceasefire. However, of course, you know, there have been rockets that have been fired into Israel from Hamas during this time. That doesn't surprise us. But what he's saying is that even if there is a drizzle of rockets, I mean, now they've had 10,000 rockets since 2005 launched their way. But even if there is a drizzle of rockets, that they're going to respond. They are going to respond. And it's like no mas for Hamas. I mean, it is over. No mas for Hamas. It is over for them. And it should be because this is a terrorist organization that is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, when you build, you know, 32 tunnels at the cost of $3 million to infiltrate a country, where your plans are, I mean, literally, their plans are to go underneath and kidnap Israelis and drag them down in these tunnels. And these tunnels are not like, you know, a tunnel where you crawl. Listen, they have cars in this tunnel. They've got motorcycles in this tunnel. Wow. They have all kinds of ties and all kinds of devices to, you know, chain and lock people up. This is evil. Mm-hmm. And like I said, something about in the ground. I mean, something about this underground stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, thanks to Israel and the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, they have been able to have boots on the ground and go in to really serious places. I mean, when you it's not like the enemy's, you know, right there in the open. You have to go into these buildings, into these homes, and by golly, there's a tunnel there in your kitchen. You know what I mean? Literally. In your living, pull up the car. There's a tunnel there. I wonder where that leads to. The backyard? No. My country. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they have to go in. They have to do the necessary work to destroy them and eradicate them. And really what hurts me in this whole thing, I mean, this whole conflict, Operation Protective Edge, is the fact that, one, you know, Israel has to come to the point where they have to defend themselves. There wasn't enough international outcry that the rest of the world should have condemned Hamas from the beginning. And, you know, it's one thing when you know, you're someplace and you got your friends and you got your buddies behind your back where if you're tight enough and someone's picking on you, you don't have to say a word. It's like if your big brother's there, it's taken care of. If your friends are there, you don't have to say a word. Because they got your back. And the international community, including the United States, you know, has not had their back when it comes to Hamas or any of these terrorist organizations that have launched all these attacks against Israel. No one has stepped forward. So the fact that Israel has put themselves, the only lone Jewish state in the Middle East, the only democracy, I mean, all these other democratic countries should have been the first one to say, knock it off. Knock it off. You're not going to come against Israel. You're not going to launch these rockets. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. The contribution that Israel has made in the last 60 years to humanity is enormous. Is enormous. And they have benefited the world. And so the fact that they even had to defend themselves is horrible. And so, and then when they have to defend themselves, on top of that, you have the international community and others
blame for it.
That are blaming them. We want you to defend yourself, they say, but do you have to do that with rockets? I mean, do you have to fight back when you defend? I mean, we are supportive of you defending yourself, but is there a way that you could defend yourself by not striking back? Is there? No. I said it was like communication out of both sides.
Right.
And then when they go in and they have to, you know, retaliate with rockets, when they have to go in and destroy tunnels, when you have high rate of casualty amongst Palestinians because Hamas is using them as shields, Israel is blamed.
Right.
When is the last outcry you heard of the international outcry saying, Hamas, what are you doing? We're all going to come in there. Now. We're all going to come in. Israel went first. Now we're all going to come in there, and we're going to put all of our soldiers in there, and we're going to make sure that all this is taken care of.
On every subject, it's one-sided. On every conversation,
I mean, completely.
It's against. There's no hint of anything towards Hamas. It's all against Israel.
Where is the outcry? And so now they blame Israel for all of these Palestinian deaths when, in fact, we have showed it repeatedly on this program. Repeatedly. Where there have been rocket launchers placed near children. We've seen rockets all, you know, placed near women in homes. We've showed this stuff. Right? We've showed video. And people just tend to ignore it. And the truth is that you can't ignore it. It's a reality. And my heart goes out to the Palestinian people living in the Gaza Strip. I mean, the loss of life is horrific. These folks have lived in basically in war. They've lost power, electricity. Their whole life and world has been disrupted. And Hamas here is continually waging this jihad. I want you to watch Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, CBN reports the latest regarding, hey, listen, if you're looking for war crimes here in Israel, you need to go look somewhere else. And let me point you to the direction. Go look at Hamas. Watch this.
Rockets from Gaza, followed by Israeli airstrikes, disturbed the fragile peace between Israel and Hamas overnight, but there is now a new truce and it's still holding. Negotiators extended the ceasefire for another 5 days just before midnight, making it the longest pause in the fighting since the war began last month. Meanwhile, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu angrily rejected a UN investigation of alleged Israeli war crimes in Gaza. In a nationwide address, Netanyahu accused the UN Human Rights Council of giving legitimacy to terror groups like Hamas and ISIS.
Instead of inquiring into the massacres that Assad is perpetrating against the Syrian people or that ISIS is perpetrating against the Kurds, the UN has decided to come and check Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, a democracy which is acting legitimately to defend its citizens against murderous terrorism. They should visit Damascus, Baghdad, and Tripoli. They should go see ISIS, the Syrian army, and Hamas. There they will find war crimes, not here.
New York's governor, Andrew Cuomo, is visiting Israel this week. He said all New Yorkers stand with the Jewish state in its fight against terrorism.
Amazing. Mm. That's right. I am with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Don't look at Israel. Don't look anywhere here for war crimes. You need to be looking at Hamas. You need to be looking over at ISIS. You need to be looking at Assad, the president of Syria. 140,000 people plus have been killed during their civil war, and it's already been known that the chemical weapons he was used against our own people. I mean, mm-hmm. come on. Mm-hmm. But do you see that in the news every day? Do you see that being talked about? Listen, it's a strategy, and I'm trying to contain myself, you know, because these are things that we know, but it's for us, the church. We need to be able to be informed, and we need to be able to pray, and we need to not be ignorant of the devices that are being used by evil, right? Basically, you know, in the Christian Post, they're reporting that Israel's ambassador to the UN, Aviator Manor, arrived at the 21st session of the Human Rights Council on human rights and the Palestinian territories. And basically, Israel has spoken strongly. They've spoken out against the appointment of Canadian international lawyer William Shabazz to head the UN Human Rights Council inquiry into the Gaza conflict. This is why they're strongly opposing. Mm-hmm. They're accusing the lawyer of setting himself against the Jewish state and suggesting that the commission has already indicated that it will have an anti-Israel bias. Mm. I mean, they've stacked the deck already.
My goodness.
They've already appointed someone who allegedly, according to Israel, saying, this guy is anti-Israel already. Mm-hmm. He's already coming against us, and how can we have a fair shake? The fact that they would even consider instituting, investigating a war crimes of Israel is just ridiculous. And the truth is that all of these things that seem to be swept under the rug, all these things that seem that people are getting away with, understand that you don't get away with anything with God. You don't go around poking the finger of God's eye and think that it's going to work out in the end. You know, mistake, you know, time going by for God not observing and God not seeing. Nothing escapes the eyes of God. And believe me, God will deal with those that come against Israel. It's in the Bible. Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And my word to you is, hey, repent, change now, mm-hmm. turn your hearts to God, and don't mm-hmm. come against Israel, because it will not go well with you. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Does a federal employee have the right to read the Bible during their free time in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for the NWR Boys and Girls Club of America. I work in the military base there. And they don't have somebody to work their front desk. And I've been filling in for them. And they told me that I just sit there, say hi to the parents, and answer the phones. And I'm allowed to bring music, or I'm allowed to bring a book or something. And I had my electronic Bible sitting there on the desk. And one of the military men told me that someone had gotten fired for that before, and I better be careful. Is what I'm doing against the law?
It's not against the law at all. And I'll get some of our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our legal staff to talk to you. The Bible's not a banned book on a military base. That's a really big overreaction on the issue, and they're clearly not giving you the law correctly. You have the right to have your Bible there during free time without any problem.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And I'll tell you, I had an interesting evening. I had the chance, the opportunity to be at the Sportsman's Night Out at Marcus Point Baptist Church in Pensacola.
On purpose?
Believe it or not, on purpose.
What happened?
On purpose. Well, for those who don't know, this is a, and I'm doing my best, okay, to describe it, and I don't want to butcher it up, but it is a, what I gathered, it is, man, if you like to hunt anything, mm-hmm. I mean, this is like your place to be.
If you know how to hunt?
If you know how to hunt, like to hunt, I mean, you got to be there. And I'm not a hunter. I'm not a hunter.
Yep.
And no, I'm not.
No.
And so I happened to be visiting yesterday one of our sponsors, David Cooley. And by the way, he is the owner and operator at Auto Docks of Pensacola. Listen, this is where all sick cars go to get well. He is the Auto Doc, a great guy. And he invited me to actually go out there to the sports. He said, "You going out to this thing?" And I said, "You know, David, I'm not the hunter." He says, "Well, you don't have to be."
Hmm.
And I said, "You know, that is absolutely right, David." And the only reason I was going is for David. We're going to hang out. I said, "All right, let's do it, man."
Right, right.
Because we were talking about getting together. He is ASC certified, Toyota certified, hybrid certified. They got certifications, you know, all over the place there. Mm-hmm. And they have a great special, by the way, $29 for an oil change, and it comes with a full vehicle inspection, something like 60-point inspection. It's free. It's included. Go see him in Pensacola. Go to VFNTV.com, and you will see on the sponsors all the ways you can, you know, locate him. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to go, David. I'll see you there." And he says, "Meet me there." So, of course, I'm thinking that I'm going to be able to meet him, you know, out at Marcus Point somewhere. And then I saw the police cars redirecting traffic. Then I saw the crowds of people walking in the middle of the road, shutting down traffic. And I go, I think this is a big thing here. I don't know if I'm going to find David tonight. I asked my son. I brought my son along with me, and then my brother called me and says, "Hey, why don't you come down to this thing?" And we all wind up going. Last minute, listen, you get a barbecue sandwich, chips, and ice cream sandwiches. I mean, they feed you well. And man, I was blessed when I went out there. I mean, they had all of these, you know, stuffed deer, I guess, and bears all over the place. I mean, it was good stuff. In fact, we have a picture for you. This is what it looked like. 5,000 people was there. I mean, this place was packed.
My goodness.
Wall to wall. I sat on the steps. There was no seats.
I sat
on the steps, but that was fine with me, man. It was a whole bunch of folks in there, a whole bunch of guys up in there, and they had everything you could imagine. They were giving out these prizes, and man, I had no idea that this little ticket was so valuable. They were giving out these prizes.
Wow! Did you have to pay for it?
It was like $5 to go. I mean, it's, you know, just that's it. You go out there, and they were giving all these prizes out.
Look at that scenery.
It's, yeah. Oh, listen. This is
log cabin walls, deer head. Look at all that.
Oh, dude. The way they staged this thing, it was, I mean, they had a...
This is no joke.
No, this is the real deal. They had a bear stuffed on the corner, had an alligator
There's a zebra skin on the ground. Look at that.
This thing was serious. And I was afraid someone was going to ask me for my hunting card, and I was going to get thrown out of there.
Did you bring your man card with you?
So tell us, what kind of bow were you using, John? What do you prefer, John?
I was concerned they were going to rat me out and find out, who is this guy? He is not a hunter.
Right.
Because, man, it was camo and everything up in there. They were ready. I thought a deer was going to hop out. How about
did you bring your 30-06?
I don't know what that. No.
That's a rifle, by the way.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Well, I learned a lot. I learned a lot, but they're giving out all of these amazing prizes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they're giving away a deer feeder. I need one of those. Call my number. I need one of those. And they're giving out all this stuff. And guess what? My son won a prize. My son jumped. They called his number out.
Get out.
5,000 people. And he won a tree stand. I mean, I said, son, I guess we're hunters now.
You know what this means now.
What does that mean?
You take the boy hunting.
Well, you know, David with AutoDocs told me he'd take me hog hunting. And,
do you have a slingshot?
No. I'll need some training. I'll need some training.
Lots of help and prayer.
Yeah, lots of help. They even gave away a hunting expedition, I think you call it, or something like that, out there in Montana, man. They had, I mean, all sorts of stuff going on. It was cool. 5,000 folks. And the featured speaker was David Morris. He has a sporting program, a hunting program. And I guess
is that him?
That is him. He's well known in this genre, if you will.
Arena.
I am out of my element. But I tell you, I felt like a hunter that night. I was looking for my hat and everything. I felt good. And it was a great experience. He talked about all of, you know, his progression in his life. He grew up in Geneva, Alabama. And he said, all my life, he says, people said they wanted to shoot a deer. He said, all my life, I just wanted to see a deer. He said, I never saw a deer. I just wanted to see a deer. And he just got started with that passion, and then they started, you know, bringing in deer so they could mate and just, you know, populate that area. And he started shooting deer, went to school, and before you know it, he just started an amazing business and all this type of stuff. He has a program, and he's been all over the world, even told a story how he shot an elephant that was in 12 foot of grass that you can't even see. An elephant.
12 foot of grass.
Yes, you can't even. I mean, you can't see through it.
Is that really fair? Shooting an elephant. How do you miss it?
Well, this thing, you couldn't see it. The grass was so tall. The grass is so tall in this thing. According to David, he's a professional. You're not supposed to follow an elephant into this place, but they did. You know, things you do for TV and the camera. You know, and they did, and they couldn't. All they could do is hear him breathing, and they knew he was close. And he runs something like 17 yards. I don't know if it's a few seconds. I don't know. This thing can move. I had no idea. And they couldn't see this elephant. And so long story short, something happens. They didn't know if he had tusks. I mean, you know. Uh-huh. And he says, if I can see his eyes, I can get him. If I can see his eyes, I can get him. Sure enough, it came to a point where he was able to see his eyes. All he could see was the dome of his head. And he shot him right between the eye. And he said, he says, I know that God directed that bullet. Otherwise, we'd be dead. He says, and there was other people up in the stands that saw, and they thought that they were dead. They thought that they got him from their position. But they took down this elephant. So he's telling us all this stuff.
Took down Dumbo.
That, hey.
If you can see an elephant in the eyes, he can see you.
Hey, listen. That alone, this guy, he knew his stuff. And so he talks about he's hunting all over the world and just all these different things. But what was really cool, in his talk, he says, all the stuff that I've accomplished and all these magazines and television programs, he said, I'm not a TV personality. He says, I'm a hunter that has a TV show. And he says, but that means nothing compared to my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And man, David let it rip last night. I mean, he just encouraged all those that were there that we are living in serious times and that we need to be, you know, men of prayer, people of prayer, and we need to stand for God. And he gave everyone the opportunity in there. And this is Pastor Godfrey, by the way. He's the pastor of Marcus Point Baptist Church. We want to thank him for all the stuff he's doing in the Pensacola region area. But I'll tell you what. I mean, they gave an opportunity for people to come find Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mm. And I'll tell you, it was a great, great event. And I think they may make a sportsman out of me. And I mean, listen.
You have a tree stand.
I got the tree stand. My son has a tree stand.
And you have a tent.
And I have a tent. Listen, I am gathering my.
You're gathering your supplies.
David,
get you some camouflage, a little deer feeder.
Listen, I almost felt like I was going to win one last night. I mean, I was getting in. I need a deer feeder. I need a deer feeder. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time. Of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't care about you. They don't even know who you are. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, start. In addition to that, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where everybody's in smaller groups. Cause I remember in New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone. It's wet.
Right.
The computer don't work. They're in Houston. They're in Louisiana. They're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because I saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. I'll give a big shout out to Leo DeJesus. And Sandy, oh my goodness, Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in here. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible. And it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. If you missed it, I am going to have my hunting gear, and I'm going to get ready. Maybe I'll get a...
Camouflage t-shirts.
Camouflage
t-shirts. There we go. I can
t-shirts.
See it now.
Hey, listen...
Now you have a reason to wear your Psy Duck Dynasty shirt now.
Oh, hey, see, there it is.
There it is.
And hey, I love Psy. So, well, we want to talk about Prayer Mountain in Dallas, Texas. Listen, God gives us the opportunity to talk with him. I mean, think about it. You know, the President of the United States is the most powerful man in the world, and people line up to have meetings with him. They schedule them, you know, months in advance. All these different things happen. They wait hours and a bunch of screening just to get 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes with the president. And you better know what you have all your ducks in a row, because that's all you're going to have if you have a 5-minute meeting with him. And that's it. Once it's over, it's done. And you may never, you know, that's it. And you know what? God gives you more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the opportunity. His doors are always open. And you have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he desires that you talk with him. He desires that you open up your heart to him and that you position yourself in a place where you can seek him out. And prayer is a much needed thing. Oftentimes, I believe it's neglected, because I think many people have the tendency to try to come up with solutions on their own. And prayer sometimes becomes a last resort instead of a first resort. And that's how you know about a prayer life. It should always be your first resort, not your last resort. That everything should come out of a place of prayer and out of a position of humility that says, if the Lord wills, you know, we're going to take it to prayer. But if the Lord wills, then we will go or we will do. But God's the one's in charge, right? God's the one that calls the shot. He's the shot caller. And we want to honor him by saying, God, do you even want us involved? Do you want us to go? Is it yes? Is it no? Because we want to live lives that glorify him. He is the center of our hearts. He is the center of our lives. And believe it or not, it's all about him. It's all about him. And so we want you to see about a miracle that took place. There's a prayer ministry that has been going on for quite a while in Dallas upon this mountain. And they've seen all sorts of miracles and all sorts of stuff. It has nothing to do with the mountain, by the way. But it's a place where they just pray. It has to do with prayer, and it does have to do with God, who is the God who answers prayers. And we want you to see this, because I want you to be encouraged, because every one of us, listen, we have the opportunity to not only know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but we have the opportunity every day to seek him out. And I never forget this. I heard someone say, you can have as much of God as you want. And I thought, man, that's interesting. The question is, how much do you want? Because the door is always open. The door is always open, and he always has time for you. Watch this as we learn more about what's happening on Prayer Mountain in Dallas, Texas. Watch this.
At the young age of 6, Viviana Ruiz faced a diagnosis of leukemia.
We didn't know the Lord. We weren't saved. We were just going through life. We just didn't know what was happening. I was in first grade when I was diagnosed. And, you know, as you could imagine, like, our whole just life just completely just kind of crashed.
Then came chemotherapy, and Viviana could barely stand the pain.
One day, I was later on in my treatments, I was feeling really, really sick, and they had already done everything they could whenever I was feeling sick from the chemo and the cancer, because, like, you feel so sick from the cancer already, but then the chemo makes you, it kills everything, not just the cancer. And the doctor says there's nothing else we can do.
Around the same time, a family friend convinced Viviana's mom to bring her here to Prayer Mountain.
She brought me in. She sat on that side of the pews, and I was asleep. I fell asleep, and my mom said that the whole church stopped, and, you know, Pastor Albert stopped the congregation and had everyone come, and they all laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I was asleep through all of it. And then when I woke up, my mom said that I was completely better. I was a new little girl. You know, none of that was affecting me.
Thanks to that miracle on the Mount, the entire family would eventually come to know Christ. Miracles happen here on a regular basis. Pastor Robert Summers and his wife Joanne discovered Prayer Mountain nearly 30 years ago. They say God told them to buy it and build a prayer center at its summit. Since then, they've added a garden, prayer rooms, and a prayer deck overlooking the city. In Dallas, where everything's big, people are climbing the biggest mountain seeking God, and he's answering back in miraculous ways. The word mountain may be a bit of a stretch. Its peak stands at only about 900 feet, but when you reach the top, the views are spectacular.
We have a lineage of prayer in our families that goes all the way back, parents, grandparents, and we know the importance of prayer and what prayer can do to change things.
In the mid-90s, Joanne and her mother were featured in a 700 Club story called The Seadrift Intercessors. It told the miraculous tale of a group of World War II survivors. The women from Joanne's church gathered daily, interceding for all 52 men from their congregation that were sent into battle, and all 52 returned home safely. She took that experience and now teaches it to a new group of intercessors, including politicians.
Well, the last 20 years or so that we've been here, every mayor in Dallas, or wannabe mayor, has come out here and ask us to pray with them.
And to the city's young people.
What we couldn't see while we were there at Dallas Baptist University was that the Lord is weaving us into the fabric of this mountain.
As we come together for different denominations, different ethnic groups, and we agree in the place of prayer, it releases power.
Just ask Viviana. She's 20 years old now and gives credit to God and the new generation of intercessors.
I was healed, hallelujah. You know, and just like by his stripes, I was healed, you know, and like I am so grateful for the doctors and the people that, you know, that helped and everything, and for all they have done, and they were just so supportive. But I wouldn't be here without the Lord today. Constantly, like, the church would tell my mom, you know, she will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. And now, you know, here I am, all glory to God.
Jennifer Wishon, CBN News, Dallas, Texas.
She will not die, she will live and declare the glories of God. My goodness, don't you love that prayer?
Powerful.
Powerful. Listen, we need to pray. And you know what? I'm excited about that because, you know, we believe in prayer. It's something that we've been doing now for, what, five years? On every Monday, we have a group of us, you know, that pray all together on a kind of a 24-hour prayer watch, if you will. And people take different shifts. And it's been happening for 5 years. And it's wonderful to be in a place that we have a full day of dedication. God's growing us in this type of grace, and maybe more days we'll be privileged to participate in. But it's a time of focus intercession. And intercession is a time where we stand in the gap or someone or people or things, and ask God to intervene. And I love to hear about that story, the Sea Drift Intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
Sea Drift Intercessors, where they prayed during the war. It's amazing to me. It's beautiful. For 52 of their servicemen that were called out of their church. Isn't it amazing? To be at war. And they prayed for every single one of them. I think 52 weeks in a year, 52 servicemen, and they all came back alive.
Mm.
And what a testament to the power of prayer and what we can do when we join together and say, hey, we can be united in seeking the heart of God. Mm. We can be united in going after the Lord and standing in the gap. And it doesn't need to be our last resort. It needs to be our first resort. And I think about, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know, if my people,
mm-hmm.
That's God's people, right? Who are called by my name, you know, we carry his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will humble themselves and pray. It's not just humbling ourselves. It's putting ourselves in a place where we're low, where we're dependent, and that we seek God for all the answers. I mean, we don't have all the answers. He's the one that has the answers. Mm-hmm. But we're living in a time where there's so many things happening that it's time for us to say, it's not how much we can do,
mm-hmm.
but what God has already done and what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to seek his heart. God, what is your heart about this situation? What do you want us to do about this situation? And I want to encourage you today that maybe you've tried everything, you know, in your own power, in your own strength. And I just think about, you know, the scripture says it's not by power, mm-hmm. but by, you know, might, but it's by God's spirit. And it's about being able to seek him for answers. It's able to seek him for revelation. And I want to encourage you to walk in a place where your prayer life becomes one of the most central things in your life. And you just don't have to pray at a certain time of the day. You don't have to pray in a certain location. You can live a lifestyle of prayer, because a lifestyle of prayer is one is that you're in continual communion with God. So you can pray during your abiding time, and you can pray while you're driving, and you can pray while you're working maybe. And you can pray throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
and it's one long continual conversation. And you'll see God move mountains on your behalf, and you'll see God answer prayers. And I love the fact how this young girl was healed in the name of Jesus, because there was a praying church who laid mm-hmm. their hands on her and says, hey, you're not going to die,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to live, and you're going to declare the glories of the Lord. We believe in prayer. We're praying at the VFM Dream Center, and we do that every single Sunday, as well as a specific time of prayer. And we believe that God is on the move, and he's definitely hearing our prayers. We encourage you to do the same. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back. Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do. So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred. Okay, I can't help it. It never happened
until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, to the program.
Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the anyway?
So, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say it.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, Okay. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness.
Very serious quote. Very
Let's serious get into serious
yeah,
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to continue our conversation that we've been having on a book from Newt Gingrich. He wrote a book called Rediscovering God in America. This is it right here if you want to pick it up. It's a great little book. And the subtitle is Reflections on the Role of Faith in Our Nation's History and Future. And this was really good. I'm going through it, and we're going to go through it together because he takes us on a walking tour of Washington, D.C., and takes us to the monuments and memorials and gives us a little bit of insight on them. But, you know, in the first one that we covered, we just talked about the importance of looking back and remembering because, you know, believe it or not, there are many in this country that would try to erase the fact that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. It was founded by people who were wanting to seek a place, the Puritans and the Jews, to worship God freely. Mm-hmm. And the Founding Fathers recognized, they understood that rights didn't come from the state or from the government or from the king, but these rights came from God, inalienable rights, which means non-transferable. Like they couldn't come from somebody else. We were already endowed. We were already given these rights. And we see that in the Declaration of Independence, where there's four references to God alone in that document. Mm-hmm. One of the speeches that Abraham Lincoln, and I think it was like 17 mentions, I think in his inaugural address of God in his 703 word, you know, speech. And it's just like, wow, what has happened? So many of the founding fathers, either had a relationship with God or understood that God was supposed to be the forefront of what was happening here. Mm-hmm. And this is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. It says, God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall into the ground or fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? I mean, everywhere you saw, there was a pointing, if you will, to God. Mm-hmm. And it's important because we've seen God being taken out of prayer in schools. We've seen God being taken out of prayer out of assemblies and graduations. We've seen the Ten Commandments being pulled out of courtrooms. We've seen folks try to scrape off in God. We trust off of money.
Right.
You know, and it's our national motto. It's happened in 1956, I believe. But it's our motto. And let me tell you something. A nation that fails to recognize God is not no longer to be a blessed nation. When you think about America and you think of all she has been able to do around the world and the blessing that she continues to be, listen, I mean, when's the last time you've seen, you know, fences over Iran? People, climbing over the fences to get into Iran. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not. They're coming to America. But we've been saying, and we've heard it said, God bless America. But the truth is, you know, America needs to bless God. We need to recognize that it's the God's hand upon us. Mm-hmm. And that's why we've been blessed. But we've been now disrespecting God in such blatant ways that if America doesn't, you know, humble herself and turn to him, that, you know, judgment definitely is upon us. But as the author continues to write and bring us into these monuments, the first one he brings us to is the National Archive, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, this is, you know, I mean, I did watch National Treasure. You know, I did get that.
Did you?
I'm trying to educate myself here. I'm trying to get, you know, up to date on what's going on. And pretty interesting. The National Archive is the repository of our nation's most important documents.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. It's the place that where the Constitution is the Declaration of Independence, and actually the Louisiana Purchase Treaty is there. It's all there. And the author, Pat, Drew Brees football card, that's not a national document.
No, it's
not there. Just want to let you know, it's not there. But all these things are there preserved. 2-3% of the federal government's historical documents, all that type of stuff, is reserved a year. 2-3%, and that's pretty neat. But what happens there? And you can go, you can tour it. The Ten Commandments is there in bronze.
Wow.
And we have some pictures, in fact, for you. We'll make them related for you on the torch. We want to show you a segment here, a video of how they took apart the Constitution. It was sealed in an encasement because they wanted to preserve it and put in something else. Look at the attention to detail of everything that takes place. It's amazing. Watch this.
The document had been encased in the early 1950s along with the other charters documents. In the 50 plus years since the documents had initially been encased, things changed. We have greater knowledge of materials, display techniques, and we wanted to incorporate those into new encasements.
The interesting thing about the transmittal page, it was the one document that was never on display, and so it was available, and we knew that was where we wanted to start.
We were able to work out procedures in terms of how to open the 1950s era encasement, which, by the way, did not come with a manual. Do you want to start with taking the frame off? We used a hand-shaped tool to work through the lead that was holding the layers of glass together, and we used a rocking motion to basically cut through the lead, which was pretty soft and easy.
It is almost like butter.
It's like very cold butter.
Right.
The work was a little bit more difficult at the four corners of the encasement where there were heavy applications of solder. So after we broke the seal, then our next step was essentially to delayer the parts of the encasement. And we did that very carefully with the top layer of glass and then the layer of glass that was in direct contact with the parchment.
One of the big concerns we had for all the encased documents was that they had been sealed with a loose piece of glass, free-floating, resting directly on the surface of the parchment and ink.
We didn't know if there would be any issues with the free-floating glass that was inside of the encasement adhering directly to the parchment.
An etch. See anything?
There was no adhesion, so we were greatly relieved. The second question that was really of great concern was the condition of the ink. It had been seen that at least in one place there was a loose flake of ink kind of lifting up off the parchment. So under a binocular microscope, we consolidated ink flakes, letter by letter, line by line. We did this for each of the documents that make up the Charters of Freedom, beginning with the transmittal page and ending with the Declaration. When we found a lifting flake of ink, it's kind of interesting. They lift up sort of like old paint on the side of an old dilapidated house. It's still attached, but it's lifting up and very vulnerable. We took a very, very fine brush and put a tiny, tiny droplet of a warm gelatin under the lifting flake. And what that did was relax the ink. And then by capillarity, it it pulled it back down as it relaxed. So it brought it down effortlessly into the position it was originally.
Whereas in the old encasements, there was glass sitting directly on the document that really tended to compress and caused us some concern. The new mounting technique in the encasements have the parchments resting on a custom cut platform. The inert gas that was used in filling the encasement is argon, humidified argon. We wanted very low or no oxygen levels in the encasement just to prolong the life of the parchment and the ink to really ensure a very wonderful viewing experience for the public and also to enhance preservation.
Amazing. Wow. The National Archive, we can appreciate the attention to detail and what our nation has when we preserve these type of documents. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, Louisiana Treaty. Did you know that they take down the Constitution? It's in a sealed container that has helium inside of it. And every night when the building closes, it goes down underground in the vault. My goodness, if you get a chance, go to Washington, D.C., tour the monuments. Listen, we can have we can restore God in America once again. Join us in our next program where we continue to talk more about this. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this up in this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.